Hello, welcome to ABW Live. How are we all? Yeah, I know it's not the result we wanted, but hey ho, we're still unbeaten. It's not the end of the world. First in the box today, and 235-100, Pablo Amar, Thunder Road, A Bag of Dick, J Rob, Timmy Toby AN, Joshua Page, MJL is Matthew Hudson's there, JH is there. Oh, it's all going on. It's all going on. Hi, guys. How we doing? You all right? Joining me today, we have John Welsh. Hi, John.
All right, Jace.
Not in the best of moods today, mate.
Yeah, well.
The game didn't help.
From a neutral's point of view, it's probably a decent game to watch, but maybe not so much from ours.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. Also today, live from Canada land, it's Dom. Say hello, Dom.
Hello, Dom. Never gets old. Somebody's every time.
I love that. I love that. Okay, let's get straight into it, is it? Lineups. Dom, come to you first. Xhaka at left back again.
Yeah.
Lichtsteiner on the bench. Guendouzi and Torreira in the middle. What are your thoughts on that?
A little concerning to see that, I guess. And mainly with Crystal Palace's speed and tricky wingers with Zaha and you know, they do have a little bit of quality up front there. So all things considered, you know, Xhaka wasn't terrible. As a left back, did give away that penalty, but I thought we were going to be in a little bit more trouble. But I think it really did help having someone like Torreira and Guendouzi to an extent as well, getting back and helping cover quite a lot. But I think in terms of, you know, overall setup, it does hurt us a little bit having to, I wouldn't say carry Xhaka back there, but it's definitely something we have to be a lot more mindful of when you don't have your normal natural fullbacks to get up and down the pitch.
John, I mean, to expand on that a little bit, I find it strange we're playing, leaving Lichtsteiner on the bench. You're losing Xhaka's ball-playing ability from the midfield. And more to the point, you know, with Townsend and Zaha either side, they're coming at you with pace. And you also know they're going to outnumber you in the middle of the park. You know, as much as we've heaped praise on the manager with the sort of 11-game winning streak, surely he's missed a trick there today, because the overall performance, you know, we've had enough chances to win it, but so have they today. You know, surely we've missed a trick there. I didn't understand the thought process.
The issue with left back and maybe playing Lichtsteiner there from the start, I think, is they mentioned it in commentary as well, is obviously he's played twice already this week. When he did play left back against, was it in the Leicester game, I think, he didn't look particularly comfortable there. I mean, he can do it, and obviously he'd be more experienced at doing it than Xhaka is, but I'm not sure he's got the legs to do it. And when he came on today, actually, you saw that even at right back, he struggled. I think we played, it was near enough the same system, but when we were in possession, the one thing I did notice is that Guendouzi kind of vacated the middle a little bit, and we almost... he almost came in as like a third left centre-back on the left side to help cover Xhaka a little bit more. So they were clearly trying to compensate for it. And weirdly enough, Palace didn't actually attack down Xhaka's side that much. I think it's just because Zaha likes to go left so much and Van Aanholt's down that side, so it is their stronger side in the team. But yeah, it is an issue going forwards. We mentioned it during the week as well. So hopefully we can get, you know, Maitland-Niles, I think he's back playing for the under-23s now. Nacho and Kolasinac will hopefully be back soon as well. No real word on them. So that is the big problem. But I thought Xhaka did okay, to be fair, today. Other than the penalty. I'm not sure quite what the approach was today, because we weren't going to go through the middle because Palace had basically outnumbered us there.
Yeah, it was a bit strange. It was Dom. The game started off. It was really, really frenetic. It was a typical kind of Premier League game. And to be fair to Palace, they came out and had the bit between their teeth. They really went for us. You know. You look at Zaha. He's a wonderful talent. Bags of pace, as John said. That left hand side. They gained a bit of success down there. And with us pushing high up with Hector, you know, you're leaving Mustafi to have to deal with them with Zaha quite a few times. And they created some chances in the first half, didn't they? They had three, in the shortest space of time, they had three really, really good chances, which they should have nailed at least two of them.
Yeah, I think, you know, the going into halftime 1-0 down was probably almost a little flattering for us, to be honest. Like you said, those three chances could have easily all been put away. Not, you know, if they score one, it's not like they would have gone on to score the other two, because obviously the game changes. But they definitely had enough chances without needing a penalty to score. I think overall, they had 10 more shots at goal than what we did today. And they just, this is definitely one of those games where I think, you know, for us to chat about, we really do have to consider the opposition today, because the amount of sideways passing that we did wasn't because we wanted to and we were trying to maintain possession. It was just because of how well Crystal Palace were getting back and setting up. So, you know, you saw how frustrated Mesut Ozil was. He's not going to find much room or space and freedom to do what he does when a team just sits back like that. So credit to Crystal Palace, because they did a great job at nullifying what we've been doing well. And I think that, the amount of times we had to pass sideways because they were just sitting deep, sitting back, defending, you see it against the best teams. You can't just keep creating attacking chance after attacking chance if a team just sits back like that.
I didn't think they sat back that much. I think, you know, okay, you know, they went back into a good defensive shape, but I thought they attacked the ball quite well, and we lacked. Well,
they broke with pace when they turned the ball over, but they weren't like Fulham were a couple of weeks ago. You know, they were getting back and setting up really, really well and stopping us from just passing through, and that what we've been good at recently is passing through midfield quickly. We just couldn't do it today.
No, I think I think you know, Roy's done a good job there. He's looked at how we've played, and I think they've gone for us. You know, I think they've gone for us. You know, okay, yeah, we were able to get some joy in certain areas, but then they'd go after certain players in twos, and they were aggressive in trying to win that ball. John, you know, halfway through the first half, we're under the cosh a bit, in my opinion. We're not creating a massive amount. We're not transitioning the ball quickly. There are no runners and channels. What did we put this down to?
I think Dom's right in that Ozil wasn't in the game so much. That's not all on him. I know I always criticise him. I'm very quick to. But Palace made it very difficult. I thought they covered their central areas very, very well. Timmy Toby A.N., thank you so much for the donation.
Jesus, Timmy.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, mate.
Really appreciate it.
Chatbox,
give Timmy Toby some love. I thought he was a little bit stifled today. I thought, you know, we've seen this season that a lot of our good work has come from the sort of the width that we're getting from our fullbacks and how high up they can get up the pitch. Bellerin was doing okay. I don't think he played badly, but obviously he was very worried about going back behind him. And the fact that obviously Zaha's there and Van Aanholt. So it's not like it's just one guy he's got to worry about. He's got two coming down that side. So I think that limited him a little bit. And obviously Xhaka on the left-hand side, he's not a fullback. Again, this is not a criticism of Xhaka, but he's not going to do what Nacho or Kolasinac does. And because of that, that also kind of dents the impact that Aubameyang has in the game, because he hasn't got a man overlapping, taking someone away from Aubameyang, maybe opening up space for him. And I just thought that their midfield in general, like MacArthur and Kiarte, were very disciplined today and covered at any sort of movement. I was a little bit disappointed in Lacazette. It didn't hold up the ball great today. So I just think it's good play from Palace, but again, not the best movement from everything from us. I also noticed that Iwobi seemed to struggle a lot more on the right-hand side. He's played a lot from the left, or mostly from the left this season. And a couple of times him and Aubameyang switched in the first half. When he was on the left, he looked a lot more comfortable. But on the right-hand side, he was coming inside a lot more. He wasn't staying out wide, providing that width, really running at players in the same way we've seen him do this season. So I just think everyone was a little bit below par today.
Do you think the balance of having... I mean, I don't want to single out Xhaka, because like I said, I don't think he was particularly bad at left-back. But like you're saying, that one position, not having someone that can get forward and overlap and do all the things that we normally do, then makes it one-dimensional going forward. Or like, do you think that really messed with our balance in a really bad way?
Yeah, I think it does, because you're so used to... I mean, having for a start, if Xhaka gets the ball, you as a defender, you know what he's going to do. You just got to see his body shape and go, okay, his left foot can only pass it in that direction because of his body shape and the angle he's got. Because he very, very rarely passes with his right foot. And if he does, it's generally quite a weak pass and you can sometimes intercept it. So that's easy to defend against. It shuts off any channel into Aubameyang first. You know, when we only saw, there was maybe two times Aubameyang got some space out wide when Mustafi hit a really, really good like long diagonal ball to him to stretch the game a bit. But other than that, that left-hand side was just not used at all in the game. So it just completely lopsided your whole team to the other side of the pitch, which then obviously Palace can use that space that we're leaving behind on that side to exploit as well. But like Marble Horse TV and a few other people have said in the chat, I think today was more about a few individual errors. The team collectively didn't play its best.
I'm sorry, I don't agree there, okay? I think you look at Aubameyang out left there, okay? He keeps on coming inside. We've not been he's been very effective coming on second half. But what Iwobi's done well on the left, okay? He's stayed wide, he's been disciplined, he's given cover. The fact that Lacazette didn't hold the ball up well was due to the fact that Ozil, Iwobi and Aubameyang have given him zero support as well. There's not been runners coming off, okay? The ball's been fired up and it's a case of deal with it because the midfield has just been outnumbered. Now, you look at MacArthur and the guys in the middle of that Palace midfield, they're experienced Premier League players. They know what they're doing, okay? We've kind of set up to fail today, if you know what I mean. We haven't, you know, as much as second half we came out and we had a go, when you look at the clear chances created, they've created far more than we have. And they've
I'll quickly get that up, Jace, because I think you're right. I'll quickly get that set up for you.
Yeah, I think they definitely, I know they had more shots than us, and shots that hit the post don't count as on target, do they?
They had 12 total shots. We had five.
Something and I think around they hit the post, it's significant. Twice. They hit the post twice as well, which wouldn't count as on target. So. Yeah, I mean,
you know,
I think
when you look
first
at the way
half
we played against Leicester.
Yeah.
So, sorry, when you look at the way we played against Leicester, okay, you know, we got on top of the ball and we think Guendouzi and Torreira didn't do that today. And we lost the midfield battle, in my opinion. Okay. I don't think Guendouzi's quite ready for that yet. But I also think they haven't been helped. And maybe today you go to a three because Ozil had zero impact from the magnificence that was the Leicester game to today's performance. You know, he did nothing. Iwobi was average, okay? Aubameyang, non-existent apart from for the goal, really. And Lacazette really, really struggled. You know, we've not enabled ourselves to do well. And I don't think it stems from sort of, you know, just the left-back position. I think all over, you know, today he got it wrong.
You look at that team selection, though, and you saw what we did in the Leicester game. There was no way you're dropping Ozil after his performance. I think Iwobi's been brilliant this season. You're not going to drop him. Xhaka came in at left-back. I know, obviously, started the game in the middle at Leicester, but played left-back, did fine. I don't think there was a problem there. And Guendouzi, when he's played this season, for the most part, has been very good, and Torreira obviously has been the sort of difference. So I don't think the selection itself is necessarily wrong. If there was another option
Question. So what you're then saying is, if you're looking at last week's performance and picking the team on the Leicester game, then you're not actually planning for the Palace game. You're just picking on last week's performance and not planning for the team you're going to play.
I think if you, 9 times out of 10, that team we've had today should be good enough to beat Palace. Let's be honest.
Yeah, do you really want to be trying to pick your team based on an opposition like Crystal Palace at a 14th or whatever they were? I think you've got to go and just say, this is how we play, this is what we're doing, and we're going to do it better than you.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fact that we went away from home and we played with Lacazette and Aubameyang as well. Like, we went to, I'm not saying in the end it's maybe not the right decision today because of the way the result we've got, but the fact that we're going into these games to go and win them, clearly go and win them and being very offensive. I mean, playing Lacazette, Aubameyang, Ozil and Iwobi,
I think it was more so the substitutions that I looked at and kind of had a little bit of a question mark, but I'm sure we'll get to that later. That was the part for me, not necessarily the starting lineup.
My point would kind of be there, okay? You're coming up against a team who haven't scored at home for like 4 or 5 games. You know, they're goal shy. They haven't won since early September. You know what I mean? And they've outplayed us today. Let's be fair. They've outplayed.
No, they did. 100% agree.
It's one of those. Let's get straight to it then. Let's get to the penalty. In the run up, Holding puts the ball out for the goal kick. His shirt had been ripped because he was being held. The touch judge ignores it. Cross comes in. I can't remember who took the corner. Hector doesn't clear it. You know, we've had opportunities to clear it. We don't clear it. And Mustafi, there's no getting away from it. He's rash and going to ground, and the player gets in front of him. Dom, what are your thoughts on it?
Like I've always said, when you concede a goal, it's not one mistake that usually costs you. It's when you make 2 or 3 in a row. That's usually what happens when you concede a goal. And that's what you want when you're, a good team firing on all cylinders, is that you see one of your teammates make a mistake, but you're confident and think, oh, that's okay. These guys have got my back. And like you said, you know, even if it's a referee that makes a decision that's incorrect or makes an error, Holding had his shirt almost ripped off. So that was the first one. And then, like you said, not clearing the ball. And then Mustafi just finishes it off with some icing on the cake and does what Mustafi does far too often, if you ask me. I don't think, you know, even you who does jump to his defense quite quickly, it's starting to wear when you can't have that's someone in defense like that.
I think that's the first penalty he's cost us this season, okay?
It's not necessarily a penalty, though, Jace. It's these stupid decisions that he makes that leads to, like I said...
No, just wait.
So, like I said, 2 or 3 mistakes in a row is what cost you a goal. And a mistake from a referee and then a Bellerin, but your centre-back, you're talking about a guy that's the last line of defence, so to speak, making mistakes like that to then give away a penalty is just not good enough, no matter how you swing it.
Well, that's
where you need him to step up to the plate and make the right decision and do the right thing.
He shouldn't go to ground there. There's no getting away from that fact. He shouldn't go to ground there. But I think he's become an all too easy target when he'd done quite well up until that point. Hector needs to clear that ball when it's dropped right by him. You know, doesn't do that flat-footed. If Mustafi between two stools there where, you know, if he doesn't go for the ball, the player gets a free shot at it and he gets, you know.
He could just stand in the way. That what he did was really stupid. And even he gets up and doesn't even for a second try and appeal, doesn't do anything other than just go, shit. Because he knows.
Look. Who's the attacker? What's the attacker's name, John?
It was Kiarte who was going to get to the ball. Kiarte. But his back's to goal. He's facing away from the goal, Kiarte.
But he jumped in after. As Mustafi had gone down, he jumped in, and I thought he was very smart in that. What's your opinion on it, John?
I just think it's a really bad decision from Mustafi. It's just, that's so stupid. If Rob Holding did that, I'd say he's a 20-year-old centre-back who's learning his trade. Mustafi's 26. That is really, really stupid. Now, like Dom said, he has these moments in games and it's really frustrating. And like you were right, it's the first penalty he's cost us this season. I hope that it doesn't happen again. My issue with Mustafi...
It's the first goal he's cost us this season, I think.
So frustrating with him, though, is that the rest of the game, I thought he played very well. There were some times where he came across and he covered for Holding and he made some really good last-ditch challenges and like good decisions and stuff and came out at the right time, read the game well, did some amazing passes, I said, out to like Aubameyang, things like that. So he's got all that ability. So why make such a stupid decision? If you're a defender in the box, you've got to be aware of where everyone is and what's around you. And he must be. And we've seen plenty of times where he's defended very, very well in our own box. And he is totally aware. So the fact that he just switches off for that moment, you're right. Kiarte is very smart and gets in front. That's intelligent play. But Kiarte's back's to goal. He's facing away from goal. If he's going to do anything with the ball, he's got to go away from the goal. And Mustafi's there. You just get there and you just force him away from the goal. It's very simple, basic defending. It's not complicated. And even if you are going to just try and clear it, look like, you know, maybe that's what he's trying to do. you don't need to go to ground to clear it. He doesn't need to. You can stay on your feet and clear a ball. And it's just that it's so frustrating because, I mean, from Palace's point of view, they would feel that it's fair them actually getting a goal, because I think at that point they had the better chances. They'd already hit the post. Their Townsend had a really good chance where they actually played some really nice little one-touch football around our box, really skinned us, and Townsend put it wide. And on another day, maybe they score one of those chances. So for them, they're probably pleased that they got it. But it's just bad decision-making, especially that time of the game as well. If we got in at 0-0 at half-time, I would have been like, we kind of got away with it a little bit there. You know, second half, Arsenal will be fine.
The only other thing I want to quickly add to the Mustafi thing is...
Give me a second. That piece of play they had earlier on, where it was all one-touch stuff and they didn't even get a shot on target, you know, they should have been 2-3 up at that point.
Yeah,
because that 5-minute period, they were well on top of us, and you know, it was last ditch defending and some poor thing making, which had kept the clean sheet, and then to give away the penalty was really disappointing. Sorry, Dom, carry on.
Just to wrap that up, the one thing with the Mustafi situation is that there is a very good reason as to why people have to try and defend him and or go after him in terms of, you know, game after game after game. That's all I'm saying, Jace, is that, you know, at some point you can try and defend the guy as much as you like, but if it keeps happening and you have to keep defending him, you know, maybe he's not, maybe when Socratis is back fit, maybe Mustafi shouldn't be in the team. I don't want to dig the guy out and make excuses for the rest of the errors, Jace. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just saying that you're always really quick to try and jump on the defensive of Mustafi, but there's a good reason why we keep bringing it up every week.
Look, the flip side of it is another player in that position. Do they make the same decision now? To be fair, maybe another player does stay on their feet and does think, but because of the number of errors beforehand, there's panic in there, and people do panic on the football pitch, regardless of how many games they played, and then they go in and make a silly decision. You know, he's got to stay on his feet there. I do agree. You know, there's nothing getting away from that. But he doesn't, and we give away the penalty. You know, it seems to be there's a number of errors creeping up, and then bang, that's, as you said earlier on, that's the icing on the cake. You know, as for whether he gets dropped or not, that's down to the manager. And if the manager's going to drop him, Yvonne Okafor. Oh, phone battery low. Hope Emily will bin Mustafi. Fair enough, Yvonne. You know, Yvonne's donated again. Yvonne, your t-shirt's coming out to you this week. Thank you very much. You're an always star. You are our favourite. No getting away from that. So you know, does another player make that same decision? I'm not sure. Some will, some won't. But if the manager does drop, then well, fair enough, and we'll see how we go forward from there. But again, you know, we've conceded 2 goals today. You know, I don't, with the way our fullbacks push up, I don't think no matter who you've got in this squad at the moment, nobody's going to have great success at centre back because of the pressure that comes on them. So that's one of the aspects of it. On to the second half, John. Bellerin goes off, Lichtsteiner comes on for him. Yep. Obviously, an injury there again. Not that we need another one in a fullback position. But we came out the blocks, didn't we? We came out and we had a goal.
Yes, this second half, going for it, kind of. We up the tempo, go through the gears, whatever cliche you want to use. I'm still not sure what it is or why we're doing it. But, you know, I mean, Emery was, like, you could see how angry he was with the penalty. And you can see how animated and stuff he gets on the sidelines. I also think it wasn't apparently at halftime, one of the assistants got sent off as well, sent from the stands.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like one of the data analysts or something, but yeah, they didn't give his name. He was clearly complaining about the shirt pull and holding before the corner.
To be fair, his shirt was ripped.
Yeah. No, it was. But, you know, sometimes you don't get the decision. Alan Wilby, thank you very much for the donation as well. Thank you, guys. give Alan some love, chat box. But yeah, no, again, I don't know why the team's doing it. I don't know what exactly Emery's plan is. Is it just they've had a bit of a rocket up them at halftime and they feel like they all need to up their performance? But yeah, we were zipping the ball about a bit quicker. They seemed to be more intent. And, you know, Palace just hadn't got going yet in the game. And I think it was, what, only a couple of minutes before we got the goal.
Yeah, it wasn't long. Who made the challenge to...
What I liked, yeah, so what I was going to say is, obviously, before the talk about the actual free kick itself, but winning the free kick, Palace were trying to play it out from the back, which they'd done quite well at that point, and I don't think we'd really pressed that much. But I think the ball came into Mihailovic. He didn't have the best of touches, and Torreira was straight in on him to win the ball back on the edge of Palace's box, put the pressure on. And Mihailovic gives away the foul because he doesn't have the best of touch there. And Torreira, he's not all over what's around him. And he wins that free kick in a dangerous area. And then, you know, Granit steps up and does the rest.
Oh, it was a beautiful shot. Talk us through it.
I honestly didn't think he was going to try and shoot from there. I think maybe that was probably what helped him out. Maybe the goalkeeper didn't think so either. I thought he was just going to kind of sit it up and hope that someone could get a header on goal or maybe head it across goal and, you know, just create some chaos in the box, which can work sometimes. But Crystal Palace obviously are very good defensively and probably very well drilled to handle those situations. So maybe that's why. But you saw Xhaka run straight over to Emery afterwards and give him a couple of big high fives. So maybe Emery had said something to him. I don't know, but you know that he's got that in his kit bag, don't you? That left foot sometimes when he hits them, as they say, they stay hit. And it always looks a little nicer when it comes off a crossbar and then belts into the back of the net. Always just, you know, makes it look a little bit more flashy.
Well, the thing is, Hennessy got a hand to it.
He did. He got a little finger on it.
I just think it shows how much power was on the shot. And it's the one thing about Granit, John, you know, when he hits them, they stay hit, don't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's got fantastic technique. And always go back to Shredders talking about when Arsenal went over and they played an MLS like all-star team and how the ball sounded so different when Xhaka hit it to everyone else, just because the sort of pace and the power he gets on it. He did that a few times at Gladbach, scored some great free kicks for them. I the angle when him and Ozil were first standing there, I was like, is one of them sort of going to run over it? And then like Ozil maybe go for like a cheeky near post thing, but then Ozil walked away and I thought, okay, it's just going to be a cross. And yeah, he just that was brilliant. And the fact that Hennessy gets a finger to it and still can't divert it that much, you know, he barely changes the direction of the ball. It's a fantastic goal and it just lifted the whole team. And you saw the way, not just the team reacted, but Emery, all the coaching staff, everyone. It was, don't stand there all clapping yourselves on the back. It's get the ball, put it down, go and get the next one. We're winning this game. And just that kind of attitude of the team seems very different, you know, very, very positive. So I really like that aspect of it as well.
Someone's just brought something up in the chat box, Jace. I'm going to ask you about this because I actually thought this at the time as well with AU, where he dove in the box and Mustafi, the tiniest little bit of contact and he went across Mustafi and the guy just fell to the ground. If that should be a dive, right? Yellow card, get off? Because that would have been his second yellow. What do you think?
I think Atkinson, look, I think it's today was a difficult game to referee for anybody, okay? I know a lot of people having a pop at Atkinson. He didn't give the penalty. I do think it was a dive, okay? I think he's felt that, you know, that he's run across Mustafi, which he's entitled to do to go for the ball. But as soon as he's felt the contact, and there's a little bit of, a minuscule bit of contact there, he's thrown himself to the ground. And he has thrown himself to the ground. You know, there was no way that's a natural collision.
Well, that was one situation Mustafi did play very well, I thought, because he kind of almost stopped and had his hands up for about three strides before he fell to the ground. So the ref was never going to give that.
Oh, Corey Sealess, thank you very much. You're much appreciated. Corey's just donated a couple of quid. Keep up the good work, lads. Oh, Jesus. Let's not have this turn into like the Leicester game, guys.
Yeah, okay? We're trying to keep much. It up.
Much appreciated, but thank you. There's no need a lot of the time. But I think, you know, you'd also had him make a really... seen how you make a really rash challenge on Torreira in the middle of the park as well. I thought he played his get out of jail free card there, because to me, you know, I don't see Atkinson being able to give the dive on that one. But you know, it's one after the other. It's one after the other, and he did get a little bit lucky. He did. Talking of getting lucky, John. Not long afterwards, we go 2-1 up. Again, from a set piece. Go on, talk me through it, because there's two handballs in 2 weeks, which we're getting a bit lucky with.
It's kind of strange to be on the other end of decisions, considering how much we normally complain about referees and stuff. And I know we try not to focus on it too much, but we've got a few favours lately. It was great delivery. I think it was it Xhaka on the corner? I think it was, wasn't it? In-swinger.
I thought it was Torreira, was it?
Or was it Torreira? It might have been.
I'm not sure. I can't remember now.
But, I mean, great delivery, just in a really dangerous spot. There's great pace in the ball. Lacazette is having his shirt pulled at the time. Now, I don't know if his hand is up because he's appealing to the referee, because he's having his shirt pulled.
That's what it looked like to me.
So maybe it's that. However, the ball does hit his hand and his hand's in an unnatural position. So, letter of the law, that's a free kick. You don't necessarily have to book him. You don't have to yellow card him or anything else. But as the ball comes over, it does look like he gives it a little flick. I don't know how much contact he got on it, but, you know, his hand definitely goes towards it. Great reading from Aubameyang, you know, coming round at the back stick. It's a great little poke in and everything. And the delivery and the finish are all fine. The thing Palace will obviously complain about, and rightly so, is the fact so that's a handball. If that was against us, we'd be absolutely livid.
So I'll play devil's advocate to that, though. Mm. Lacazette could have had a penalty because he was being pulled, and you can't do that.
He had
a fistful of his shirt. It wasn't even just a small one either. That was a pretty sizable tug that he had on his shirt. So that was before the handball. So...
Yeah, I think that's fair as well. The thing with shirt pulling, and I'm not trying to argue against it, is that it's down to referees' interpretation of how much of a shirt pull it is, which sounds ridiculous because if you pull a shirt, surely it's a foul. But it's kind of what we're used to now. Sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't. Some referees just don't give it at all. But Palace will obviously be, I mean, they're probably happy with the point in the end, but they will definitely point to the fact that Lacazette handballs it. And if you go back to the Leicester game, which, you know, was great and we scored some fantastic goals in, before we got those goals and took the lead, Rob Holding handles it. He's already on a yellow card. Should have been a penalty to Leicester and he could have been sent off. So
yeah, you also had Xhaka. I can't remember whose shirt he pulled in the box, but my God, he was clearly running back to the box. He's pulling the guy's shirt and I'm just thinking, you know, that's just so clear. Yeah, how the linesman doesn't spot it. You know, we're as guilty as anybody else in doing that, but we've got away with one again, haven't we?
I mean, we got away with it. It's a good finish. It's a great delivery, which is nice to see. You know, our set pieces, we didn't have a lot in the game. And the short one we tried to take was completely messed up and they nearly broken us and scored. So really good pacing. Hopefully we see more of that because we know how much of a threat Mustafi is. Holding's been really good in the air as well. Obviously brought Welbeck on later in the game, and I think he's a good threat from set pieces. But yeah, we got a bit lucky with the handball. Dom's right, there's an argument that maybe you could give a penalty to Lacazette. It's probably one of those ones where it's like 50-50. They're both committing an offence. Lichtsteiner did kind of throw someone to the floor at the other end in our box and grabbing shirts and stuff. Very, very Juventus Italian defending. That you get away with over there is quite lucky with that one. So I'm not going to complain too much about the Lacazette shirt, Paul, you know.
I mean, before we talk about Aubameyang and his scoring run, because, you know, he's been fantastic in front of goal recently. Just a quick nod to the chat box. There's 136 of you live right now, and I got 30 likes. Tut, 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 tut. What the hell do you think is going on here? Come on, let's start tapping that like button, please. No, come on. It's Sunday. I got better things to do in my time, but no, I'm here for you. Ellis bunks out on us. Yes, well done, Ellis. He bunks out because he's got to look after children, you know, bloody hell. And I got to do this then. And that's all you've done is give us 30 likes. You should be ashamed of yourselves. Come on, let's just go. No. Fly KJ, nice of you to do that. Thank you very much. Dom, Aubameyang has been fantastic in front of goal recently, hasn't he?
He has. The only issue with Aubameyang, and I am, you know, being a little bit harsh, I know, we've had people play on our wings before that have scored goals but haven't contributed much else. Podolski for one, Theo Walcott another. And it's great when you look at their contributions to the goal sheet, but I just feel for overall balance of the team, those positions need to be a little bit more involved in other aspects of the game rather than just, you know, popping up to slot home a goal, which obviously is unbelievably important. Don't take anything away from that. It's just tricky at the moment trying to shoehorn Lacazette and Aubameyang into the same team because Aubameyang's not as involved in the rest of our game on a wing. Would you agree?
I would. Mm. And there's a question.
It's a tricky one, isn't it?
It's really tricky. I think, you know, look, I don't think any of our front sort of four had a particularly good game today. Okay, I think we were poor up top. I thought we were bang average in midfield, to be fair. I thought we had a bad day at the office. But the one thing that you have seen when we have kind of played very well in that respect is that last weekend you had Mkhitaryan and people had a pop on Mkhitaryan last week, but I felt that was quite harsh because I thought he'd been okay. You know, he wasn't spectacular, but he kept discipline in staying out and Iwobi as well. And when Iwobi came across the right last week, he seemed to strengthen our right-hand side quite a lot. But today, I just thought the passing was poor, movement was poor, and we kind of let ourselves down, you know? I don't think we did ourselves justice today, which was disappointing. Maybe it's just one too many changes in the team. But
our balance was off, wasn't it? And that was something that we noticed when Iwobi started playing on that left. It was the width that it created definitely helped our attacking play. And like I said, you know, like I know that it might sound harsh. I'm a massive Aubameyang fan. I love the guy. I love what he's been doing. And same with Lacazette. It's just for the issue Emery has is, like John said earlier, you can't really leave Aubameyang out of the team after last week's performance. But at the same time, as we've just seen, it's not necessarily the best balance against certain setups.
I think that's the thing. You look at Aubameyang's goal scoring record at the moment. He's getting the majority of them playing completely out of position. He's not a left winger. He's never been, you know, he played there very briefly at Saint-Étienne and a little bit at Dortmund. And guess what happened at Dortmund? They worked out he's not very good on the left. It doesn't really work. You know, he'll get you goals, but it's not his position. He's much better through the middle. So that's credit to him. But it does, having him out there is an issue because it limits the flow of the team and the balance. And it's like I've said all season, I keep saying it, and it's our team functions better when we don't have our very best players in it, just because the system we're playing means that Mkhitaryan and Iwobi, or, you know, Iwobi and either Mkhitaryan or Welbeck, to be fair, are the better options for the wide positions because we keep our shape better. Everyone's more disciplined. They do their jobs properly.
It's harder to defend too.
Yeah. And it's frustrating to say, you know, you'd never want to say, oh, well, we play better without Aubameyang in the team. But I actually do think we do for the most part, just because the balance is better. That's a headache that Emery's got to work out. You know, it's a good headache to have.
This is the thing. It's an interesting proposition at the moment, isn't it? Because he's got a number of players, you know, Aubameyang, Ramsey, Mkhitaryan, where how do I get the best out of them? But we're not playing to Aubameyang's strengths when he is on the pitch. But his quality is still shining through where he's getting in these positions, you know, to finish off goals. But as being effective in coming in from the left, he's not. He's not effective in coming in from the left at the moment. And it's difficult to see because you can see the effort they're all putting in. You can see the fact, you know that they want to contribute. How does the manager reconcile this? You know, because is he going to have to change his tactics, or is he going to just have to get players in which absolutely suit his game plan? And it's going to be down to him.
The other sort of thing that was a problem today, I think, for Aubameyang, despite the fact he scored the goal, is obviously if Ozil's not ticking, then he's not going to get that pass when he makes that run in behind and Lacazette comes short. And Ozil, you know, wasn't fantastic today. And you could see his clear frustration.
He had a stinker.
When he came off today, he was not happy at all.
So let's chat about that, because that's something I do want to bring up, the substitutions today, because for the most part, I think Emery's been very good with his substitutions. Today is one of the times where I can say, as it happened, I looked at it and thought, I don't know about that. And it was taking Ozil off, because later in games, what we've seen is our fitness levels come into play and there's more space and freedom. Now, yes, he had a quiet game for a lot of the game, but he did for the first half against Leicester until he went nuts in the second half. Similar situation. As the game opens up, as people get fatigued, you know, you bring on some pace into the wider areas and then Ozil has a little bit more space and time to do his thing. I think it would have been a better move to take off Lacazette or Aubameyang and put Iwobi back out to the left and bring Welbeck on or do something like that and let Ozil play the period of the game that was probably going to best suit him. And I think that we even saw that once he did come off, there was a few little times there in our attacking third where we were missing a little bit of quality to make some passes and there was a little bit more open room to move. And I just thought at the time, yes, Ozil hasn't had a great game, but it was almost like the game was about to open up for him. I don't know if that's why he was so frustrated when he came off. It was probably a couple of things. He doesn't like coming off, but also he hadn't played well. He's probably very frustrated with his performance. But I don't know. What about you, Jace? Do you think that the substitutions today were spot on? Or I know hindsight's wonderful, isn't it? Because it's easy just to say no.
To me, you could have brought Mkhitaryan onto the right, swapped Iwobi to the left, maybe,
or Ramsey or Welbeck or something on the wing, right?
You could have changed Guendouzi maybe for Ramsey and had a bit more drive from midfield. Okay, but you know, the manager's gone with what he thinks is right. As far as Ozil's concerned, he contributed nothing today. Okay, as much as he was brilliant last week, this is the flip side of the coin, and this is why people get frustrated with him, because that consistency of performance is not there. But to be fair to him, he wasn't alone in that.
I thought he worked reasonably hard as well today, though. He was dropping deep to try and receive the ball, and he was kind of doing what he could. But that's what I'm saying, is that this is what I saw, Crystal Palace sitting deep a lot and us having to go sideways a lot. You're never going to get, like, Mesut Ozil, look at Leicester last week. Once the game opens up, once he can receive the ball and play heads up and make those passes, that's when you get the best Mesut Ozil. And that was what was starting to happen as the game goes on and fatigue sets in. That's what you're going to get. You can get the ball to him whilst the opposition is slightly out of position. That's when he can be dangerous. That's all I'm saying is, I'm not saying he had a great game, because he didn't. There's no getting away from that. But I don't think it was...
If you're Unai Emery today, when we were dominating the game in the early part of the second half, and we did have that flow, he wasn't exactly shining then either. Do you know what I mean? He hadn't really got himself involved in the game that well. You could see the effort. Yeah, I'm not going to knock his effort yet. He did drop deep, okay? But he had zero impact on today's game. You know, you look at where the two goals come from, a free kick and a corner. you know, we didn't really create anything in open play or anything great in open play. It's really difficult to sort of second guess the substitutions that were made. The manager's made his decision and there you go for it. You know, yes, there are different options you can make, but I
just felt with the balance of our forward line, Ozil coming off wasn't going to fix that balance. That's basically what I'm saying. I think Lacazette and Aubameyang just weren't, and Iwobi weren't doing it. You know, that just whatever reason, I just felt it would have been better to take off one of Aubameyang or Lacazette.
Maybe so. Okay, you could have taken off any one of Iwobi, Ozil, or Aubameyang, in my opinion. Okay, I wouldn't take off Lacazette because he is the fulcrum of our attack and he's mostly involved in all the good things that happen. He didn't have a good day today. That's fair enough, but he's kind of the one player I wouldn't take off because even if we put Aubameyang up top, we don't kind of play to his strengths enough. Okay. But the one thing, if you're Unai Emery, you look at the players in the park and who's contributed the least out of Aubameyang, Iwobi and Mesut Ozil. And it's Mesut Ozil today. He's had his chance on the pitch. He's done nothing with it. You're off, mate. It's as simple as that.
The other problem Ozil suffered with today is, I know Xhaka went to left-back obviously in the Leicester game, but by that point the game is a bit more stretched and it's more open. He only really had Torreira today from midfield who's going to be able to feed him the ball. That's not a knock on Guendouzi. He's still a young kid who's learning and I don't think he's at the same level as Torreira. When Torreira's not next to Xhaka, Ozil doesn't have two people who can receive the ball off in space. Because we all know how good a passer Xhaka is and we know how good Torreira is as well. And he always tries to look forwards. It's kind of like when you play Elneny in midfield, it's a little bit too safe then. When you have those kind of players, and Ozil maybe doesn't receive the ball as quickly as he can, which means he can't turn with it or playing the ball for a runner like Aubameyang or Lacazette. I like the fact that we brought on Welbeck. I don't think that was a bad idea. He's got pace, he's got power, he'll run in behind people, he'll run at people all day. He'll also help track him back. The Ramsey substitution made sense for me because I thought as the game wore on, their midfield starts to get a bit more stretched. We were still struggling a little bit. It was kind of 2-3 for a long period in there. Bringing him on means that someone is to burst through the lines. And we saw there was one chance late on. Xhaka got the ball. And I think he actually crossed with his right foot. And Ramsey did that one of those sort of runs late into the box. Header. And it was just a little bit too high for him to get that header and that flick on for maybe a chance. So I don't think the substitutions were necessarily bad. We were obviously hindered by the fact that we had to take off Bellerin at half-time and Lichtsteiner come on then because I think if you didn't have to make that sub, then you could bring on Mkhitaryan as well. But it surprised me a little bit that I kind of get why he took Aubameyang off over Lacazette because Palace was sitting deep, so there was less space in behind. But I thought of the two, Aubameyang just looked more likely to score today. Like Lacazette, you could see his head had gone a little bit. Particularly after we conceded the second goal. You saw Emery really sort of screaming in his face, trying to G him up, saying, no, it's fine, it's not your fault. I don't know if you want to go on to that goal, Jace, now.
Yeah, let's go to that now. And so we break, okay? We have a nice little break on. The ball comes out to Iwobi, and this is really harsh now, and it's not having a go to Iwobi. You got runners coming into the box from outside the area. He makes the pass to Lacazette, who's already past the goalpost from my vision there. I'm not sure if I'm 100% correct, but he's coming away from goal. Three defenders surround Lacazette. He tries to play a long ball to the middle for Torreira, I think it was. The ball turns over and Palace breaking us. Now, Palace breaking us, it ends up in the box. Zaha one-on-one with Xhaka, and Xhaka sticks his foot out and... Well, guess what? Lacazette. Zaha goes over. Quick question to both of you. Penalty, yes or no?
Go on, Dom.
Yeah, I think so.
I know I'm going to get crucified by chat, but yeah, I thought it was.
It's stone cold. If that wasn't given against us, we'd be up in arms.
Yeah. I know our pirate and a few others on the pod thought it was Zaha cheating and diving, but yeah, he's making the most of it, but you can't stick a straight leg out like that. You're asking for the referee to make a decision.
And this kind of leads on, you know, you're picking a guy at left back who's not really nimble at the best of times. And he's prone to doing something like that. That's the way it goes.
His body shape's wrong, a fullback's chosen down the side, all that kind of thing. I'm not going to... That Xhaka is experienced enough and should know enough about Zaha that he's likely to go down easy like that. It's the stupid mistake he makes in the game. Other than that, I thought he was fine. But, I mean, again, it's like Dom said earlier, it's an individual error, obviously leads to the penalty, but it's a string of collective errors that leads up to it in the first place. Like, Iwobi's decision for the pass was maybe not the best. Lacazette, you're 2-1 up. Palace are really pushing you at that point. It's a very weird ball to play to Torreira. Sometimes it's just, okay, look, I've got no pass on. Let's go in the corner flag. You know how much time's left in the game. I can't even remember, what is it? 5 minutes left, something like that. 5-6 minutes left. Yeah, win a free kick, you know, take it to the court. You know, whatever you do, wait until someone comes up and joins you. It's a bad ball. I actually think Torreira could read that it's a bad pass and do better there. Like, it's not the best ball in the world to him, but he's good enough that he should be able to read that mistake there, and he doesn't. He gets caught out. And then Xhaka just, you can't stick a straight leg out like that in the box. It's criminal.
Yeah, Dom, your thoughts?
I'm not sure I've got too much more to add on that, to be honest. I just think we're still obviously a team that's learning. And I guess that's where leadership comes into it a little bit more too, just to have someone that potentially could have just, you know, Lichtsteiner in that movement of play, maybe just puts a foot through it and just kicks it out or does something just to understand the situation of the game. And it's a really, really frustrating goal to give away, because at the time, 2-1 up, I was sitting there not really thinking we were going to score another goal. Once Ozil came off, I think that was a tactical substitution in a defensive way, because I feel like maybe Emery was just thinking, look, let's just see if we can see this game out. We're not having a lot of luck going forward and creating a lot of chances. So maybe that was the mindset behind bringing Ozil off. But sometimes the best form of defense is a good offense. But I don't know. It felt like it was coming, but it was still frustrating to see it happen. Do you know what I mean?
Someone made a good point in chat. Sorry, Namdoozy Gunner lad. We need to be more cynical. I really like Guendouzi's foul in the 90th minute.
I was just going to bring that up, actually.
Which was a really, really good foul.
Yeah. He just fully kicked the guy. He's like, you're past me. This is trouble. Boom.
Yeah. There's an opportunity there for someone to try and bring down Zaha before he gets that close to the box. Because, you know, I think it's Max Meyer picks it up first from the Lacazette sort of misplaced pass, and then lays it off to Zaha. Like, there's opportunities there to commit a cynical foul.
There are, but you go back a couple of seasons, and I remember the Swansea game, and we're all up watching it in the box at the Emirates when Xhaka, wherever the winger was for Swansea that day, he clips him from behind, just inside our half, and he gets a straight red for it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, there's only so often you're going to be allowed to get away with that, okay? And yes, we should be cynical, and I love a bit of cynicism in the game, but our mistakes are on the break. The mistakes which lead to it are from the break, you know? And... you know, what is Lacazette playing that ball for? It will be, you know, you'd had a tough day at the office, Alex, and, you know, after some scintillating form recently, you know, he was always going to come up against a brick wall sooner or later. That's just the way sport is. You know, we need to manage the game a bit better. We need to manage our opportunities a bit better in that respect. It's harsh on them, because who would have thought that turning over the ball in that position leads to this?
Yeah. You know? It's very strange as well, because in all the other games up to this point, I think we've actually done quite a good job in terms of game management, especially when you compare it to previous seasons, which is something we've always kind of struggled with. You can look at like Champions League ties and cup ties and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
I actually think we've done quite well in like, when to slow down the game and sort of change the tempo, make the game a little bit bitty, commit fouls and stuff. We've done that very well this season. And Lacazette isn't a stupid player. you know. He's a very experienced player as well. And you could see how upset he was, because after the goal, you know, Emery's got him like both hands, his head sort of screaming at him, saying, look, this is, you know, just get your head back in the game, focus and everything. Trying to sort of get across that, you know, don't take this all on yourself. It's just frustrating. I think the thing with it is, if you look at the balance of the game, a draw is probably a fair result. I think in terms of the chances...
I'd say we're almost lucky to get a draw, to be honest.
I think in terms of the chances that Palace created, like we didn't really create any chances today, let's be honest, like clear-cut ones. There was a Lacazette one that sort of came to him on the edge of the box where he went with his left foot, and I would have liked to have seen him at least hit the target that he put wide. And other than that, I honestly can't think of anything. Again, someone in the chat box, apologies. I've lost the name of the person, but oh yeah, Bellerin first half as well. Oh yeah, the one where he decided to take three touches in the box. Like, I'm not expecting him to necessarily score from that, but just hit the ball as hard as you can and hopefully it goes in. You're a fullback. But why have you got to take three touches in a box?
I feel like if we managed to keep 2-1, we'd all be sitting here going, whew, that was lucky.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, Palace will be pleased. To get a point against, you know, any of the sort of big teams is good for them, especially in the form they've been in. I'll take a draw from the game because I don't think we played great and I don't think we created enough. I think one of the big things we suffered from today was missing the fullbacks. Like, particularly when he went off, Lichtsteiner, I like him, his experience, he's very cynical. You know, as soon as Zaha went near him, he went straight through the back of him to try and wind him up, which he did do. Obviously, he did get booked in the end, and he was like, yeah, right, fair enough, ref. I've had four now. But he doesn't offer the same threat going down that side. We lose some of that width then. And I think the one thing I've noticed is at periods in games where we're not quite at it and we're not performing, a lot of our players kind of revert back to what they were doing last season, getting a little bit lost in the middle, all bunching up together. Positioning's not quite as good as it is when we're all free-flowing and everything that we have seen sometimes this season. And if you're one of those sort of wide players, well, they're not really wide players, but, you know, inside forwards in Iwobi or Aubameyang, if you don't have that fullback overlapping you, it does really limit what options you've got when you get the ball, and you can't really do so much with it. But 12 games unbeaten now, you know, I'm not going to hugely complain, because I don't think I certainly didn't have us in this position in the table this far into the season. I thought we'd be struggling more than we have been.
I didn't think we'd be too far off of where we are in terms of position. I think it's looking at our points total and seeing how close we are to the top teams.
Yeah.
That's been the surprise to me. I think, you know, sitting around fourth or fifth is around about what I was hoping for. But like I said, I thought there would have been a bigger gap from fourth to first.
So yeah, I thought the gap between sort of the top two to the rest of the sort of third down to sixth maybe would be bigger. So, I mean, from that point of view, it's very encouraging.
If I'm honest with you, I take a very different view to all this. I think the 11-game winning streak's been great, okay? It's been lovely to watch. Performance-wise, and I think... this is the big thing that we have to put into perspective. A lot of the wins that we've had, you know, majority of those performances haven't been wonderful. Defensively, we're still letting in cheap and easy goals. I mean, two dreadful errors today, you know, but there were plenty of errors before those two goals that we could have stopped them. But our overall performance of play last week was sensational to watch. Okay, from sort of 35 minutes onwards was magnificent. But the first 35 minutes was horrendous. Okay, I think we have to bring ourselves back down to ground a bit. The 11 wins, magics, you know, unbeaten in 12, brilliant. Really over the moon with that. But the performances against Cardiff City weren't great. Newcastle, it wasn't great. Do you know what I mean?
The silver lining to that, though, Jace, is I think we've sat on the show here after a couple of those wins early and we're scratching our heads. We've been negative and we're thinking, hang on a minute, shouldn't we be a bit more positive? We're winning games. But, you know, we've said all along that the performances can improve. But the silver lining is that I don't think Emery is sat there thinking, yep, this is all good. I think he knows there's a lot to come. And we've still gone, well, now, you know, 11, was it 11 games unbeaten?
12 unbeaten.
12 unbeaten and 11 in a row wins. So when you look at that, you know, you see that as the manager and you think, well, yeah, we've ridden our luck. 100% we've ridden our luck. But there have been halves of football. Because at the start, it was sort of 10 minutes here or there that looked good, you know. And we'd ride our luck and it only took us 10 minutes to win a game, which is good. And then as it's gone on, yes, we've definitely started slow in pretty much every game, but there's been some games where we're putting a whole half of football together now. And then, you know, slowly but surely, maybe we'll start to put, the Leicester game was really the last 10 minutes of the half, wasn't it? And then the full second half. Maybe we just slowly but surely we're chipping away to put more complete performances together. Because when we do, even today we saw it scoring two goals really quickly. When everything clicks and that team's on a bit of a run, we can bury teams. I don't care who the teams are.
I agree with you, and I think he's got a lot of positives to look at, okay, to put the winning run together that he has. You know, and still, I still don't think he knows his best team. I still think he's going to fiddle with this lineup and with the tactical side of how we play. I still think there's a lot more to come, okay? But I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to be realistic in what I'm saying here, okay? Is if you look at the teams we've played, we should be beating them with our squad, okay? We should be. There's no getting away from that. We should be beating these teams. Defensively, we haven't improved as much as we should have, in my opinion, okay? But attacking wise, some of the football you've seen in flashes has been wonderful to watch. It's been, you know, it was so enjoyable to watch last week. You know, it was a thing of beauty to watch. But, you know, are we title challengers? No, we're not. I just think the longer the season goes on, you know, I think there's going to be, you know, more of the issues will come up. But it's an exciting time for this manager because he can see that if he gets all the pieces right and if he gets the players playing to the way he wants them to play and they all fit in tightly, we could really do well. We could really, really do well. And I still think we're good enough to win a couple of cups. I really do. But I think today's performance was just something to bring us back down to earth and just bring a bit more realism to where we are. Okay. We've got a lot of good players. Lacazette's a great player. Aubameyang's a great player. Mkhitaryan's a great player. Iwobi is now starting to flourish. Tough time today, but that was always going to happen. Mesut Ozil is a great player. Xhaka, Aaron Ramsey, you know, Torreira, they're great players. But there's a lot to work on. You know, there's a lot to work on, and he has to find a way of getting the best out of all of these guys and finding a system where Aubameyang does contribute more from the left, where Ramsey does contribute more when he's playing, okay, where Mesut Ozil can get on the ball more with space and runners. He has to find that, but we're not there yet. John, your thoughts?
Today wasn't great, and I think that there's certainly been periods in games where we haven't performed the best, but to be as close as we are to the top teams is a surprise in terms of points. I think Dom's right about the position we're in the league. I'm pleased with... I thought Torreira was probably our best player today. There's still issues that need to be worked out, but they're getting there. I think you look at the problems we've got at fullback at the moment, that is definitely affecting us. It's not the only thing we need to do. To deal with. I do think there's still the question mark over how do you get, is it possible to get Aubameyang and Lacazette in a team and have it balanced? It is one of the big questions for me. How do you get Ozil to perform like he did in the Leicester game more often? Because he wasn't really in it today. Again, that's not his fault. I don't think anyone played particularly great. But all those things take time. I said I'd give it till, you know, like Christmas before I could really assess what he's doing. The one thing I do find a little bit odd is he talked so much about pressing and it was sort of his big thing. Maybe he didn't talk about it as much, but maybe the media made it sound like he talked about it a lot. But I haven't seen as much of it, you know, as I would have liked. But to be fair, today we got the free kick because of the pressing, and that's what got us the goal. So yeah, disappointing today, but I'll take the draw because, to be honest, I don't think we deserved much more out of it.
It's a difficult thing to win 11 games in a row, regardless of opposition.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I think that has been understated a little bit. Yes, you have to get luck going your way, and yes, you know, for me, it's a little bit frustrating when people kind of say, yeah, but we're all teams that we should beat. And I get that. But there's a reason that the last time we did it was in 2007, over 10 years ago. You know, it's not an easy thing to do. And when you look at those types of runs, even the Man Cities and you know, those bigger teams that have got, you know, all that money and the depth of squad that they have and in the form that they have, even they struggle to win 11 games in a row, regardless of, you know, opposition and time of year. So you're going to have a slip up eventually, and hopefully that's all today was. Hopefully it was just a little bit of a frustrating game out, and everyone was a little bit flat maybe. Some of these games are starting to catch up with everybody. I still feel that the fullback situation really does hurt us in a really negative way in terms of our attacking play. I know that it sounds silly, but...
No, I think that's a huge part of, like, Emery
that width
and
that we were sort of talking about. Yeah, with Aubameyang may have worked better on the left had he had someone that could overlap and be an attacking threat.
Absolutely.
Then it's not up to him to do that as much. Whereas
then
Awobi
the
out
fact,
there...
Well, we played Monday, Thursday, and then today as well. Yeah. That's a very short turnaround in terms of...
We're not the only team that has to do it. I get that. But yeah, in terms of trying to have that intensity or the level of play, it is difficult to maintain that.
Nobody else had to play Monday night, Thursday night away, and then Sunday early kickoff, though, to be fair. No one else had to do that.
I'm pretty sure. I think, look, the more mistakes, the more excuses we find, the worse it is. You know,
I think they're genuine factors that contribute to
it. Yeah, they are. And there's a question coming up in a second. But look, you know, if we'd have played better today, we'd have won the game. You know, in the same way, if Palace would have finished the chances that they created, and they created far more chances than us today, they'd have deservedly won that game. I think it's a positive thing we've taken a draw out of a game where, you know, when you look at the amount of clear-cut chances created, we should have lost it, in all honesty. But, you know, we've hung on in there. Disappointing the way we've conceded two penalties in those goals. But, you know, there's an awful lot more to be positive about than there is to be negative about at the moment. And
I think, as
you know,
well,
it's exciting times.
Going from last year, all you want is to see that we've improved a little bit, right, from year to year. That's what you want to see. And it's nothing to do with Arsene Wenger versus Emery. That's a load of, you know, a load of crap to me. It's that going back to last year, our waveform was so poor. That was a game that we all would have got up and gone, oh, here we go, we're going to lose this. And we managed to play poorly with low energy for whatever reason, and the shape of the team wasn't great. All of these other factors come into it, but we managed to scrape a draw. So that to me is improvement.
And I'd rather the blip came today against Palace than against Liverpool. Let's have our blip now and then get back to the form we're in and beat Liverpool. That's what I
think. Liverpool is going to be an interesting one. Obviously, they'll talk about that on the pod later this week. Yeah. But that's a team that's going to try and play against us, which means the game will be a little more open. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's going to be interesting to see your Lacazettes, Aubameyangs, Ozils. And if that's a game that they don't find space to get involved in, then you know, I will definitely be a lot more critical, because Liverpool aren't going to sit back and just sit deep and defend and stop Ozil from getting space. He by rights should, whether he does or not, should have a lot of space in that game to make an impact. So I have to wait and see how that one goes. But I'm excited for that.
It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be very interesting, isn't it? Right, a couple of questions then. JHABW asks, why do we start slowly again? Ever try to blow away a team in the first 15 minutes? So why do we start slowly, John?
We get asked this every week, and I still don't know why it is. I've had people suggest it's a tactical thing, and it's Emery feeling out the opposition, and then second half he goes for it more. I've heard some other people saying that it's just simply the reason why we look so much better in the second half. It's fitness levels and that ours are better. And so we can keep that running and movement and stuff and wear teams down in the second half more. It is a concern. I do think there's an argument for you can absolutely blitz a team in the first 15 minutes and knock their confidence so much that the rest of the game you can just sort of cruise through. We have done it in the past. I remember a few years ago, a certain Theo Walcott playing up front and we were at home to Man United and I think we blitzed them and it was 3-0 or something at half time and they just gave up. You've seen Liverpool do it to teams. They do it for periods in games where they'll absolutely blitz a team for 10, 15 minutes, then they'll call off and then speed up again. Maybe as he gets to know the team better and his understanding of the league's improved and he knows his definite first choice 11, that might start to happen. I'd like to see us improve our first half performances as the season goes on. Maybe something we'll see second half of the season. I just think right now we're still learning the squad, you know.
Absolutely. Dom, your opinion on it?
You know, I'm going to have to just, you know, echo what John said, to be honest. Not much more to add.
It's strange. I can understand, you know, I can understand him starting conservatively and trying to, you know, trying to feel out the opposition. But at times, you know, we haven't really attacked the game from the off at all this season. And that does concern me a little bit. But it's very difficult. It's his first couple of months at the club.
Well, it could also be that, Jace. You know, it could just be, like you said, he's still just trying to slowly but surely implement these things and to go from what we were playing last year to this, you know, he's spoken about the press, but maybe he's just slowly trickling in these ideas rather than trying to get everything to change overnight, because maybe that's not the best way to go about change, is to try and completely flip upside down what they were doing and just slowly but surely trickle it in and know that we've got it in us to play 10 minutes of good football and blow a team away.
Maybe
that's
so, maybe,
you know, so. Who knows?
It's just difficult to, you know, we haven't started quickly for a number of years now, and it is a tad frustrating. Joshua Page asks, I'll stick with you on this, Dom. Should we go after Zaha if we lose Welbeck with his contract running out?
Nah.
Okay, John?
I like Zaha. I think he's a very good player. I can see why he's frustrating, though, because he does hold on to the ball a little bit too long. I just think it's coaching. If he was coached better, then you'd see improved performances from him. But he's so annoying to get off the ball. He's so and he's got that, like, the strength and stuff, and he could just put a leg in front of someone and people swing and try and tackle him, and they can't get the ball off him. But yeah, he doesn't release the ball early enough for me. But I kind of think at teams like Palace and stuff, Roy Hodgson's got, and it's like, you just go and play. I don't need to tell you what to do because you're our best player. Like, he doesn't really interfere with him too much. If he get a bigger club, then maybe
he's
get
their talisman,
coaching.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he's their talisman.
He's their best player, and he's an undoubted talent. Yeah, he's frustrating. You know, people call him a cheat today. It's a clear penalty. And to be honest, we've seen ourselves not get penalties for people staying on their feet too long, where you think, go down, you know? But
the other thing you have to also take into account, if you're a player like Wilfried Zaha, you get kicked to ribbons every single game.
Oh.
And you get so probably frustrated with the referee not giving you free kicks or sending people off or getting bookings and stuff, because you're constantly fouled. And Iwobi gets it a bit for us, I think, as well, because he's got that kind of technical player. You see it with Hazard for Chelsea. Those kind of technically gifted, quick-footed players will get kicked constantly throughout a game. And so you just go down for absolutely everything, because you're just looking at the referee and going, why is no one getting a booking for the way I'm being treated the entire game? We had it when Reyes was at the club as well. He got similar sort of treatment, you know.
Seen over the years, haven't we? We've seen it. Mayank Nagandra asks, should there have been more rotation for the midweek game? Dom, your thoughts? I didn't see the midweek game this week.
The midweek game, we played Ramsey and Aubameyang in that game. But the thing with that is, so I'm speaking from a fitness point of view now. When when you have a game like today, or the last couple of weeks where Ramsey and Aubameyang have started on the bench, you've got the rest of the team out there basically getting in a fitness session. That's the way that a fitness coach looks at that. They've played 90 minutes of intense exercise. And if you have someone like a Ramsey and Aubameyang only coming on for 10 or 15 minutes when the game's a bit dead and just to kind of run it out, they're missing out on that fitness session. So what you're at risk of doing, and they do this in the Aussie rules, whereas if you're not used so much on the field, at the end of the game, they'll make you do sprints and they'll make you do a bunch of extra fitness work so you don't lose out on that session, because you can be, it's very dangerous to get deconditioned, because then all of a sudden, if a player's only started on the bench and only played 5 or 10 minutes here and there, when you do ask them to start, there is a higher risk of something going wrong with a hamstring injury or sort of a dynamic injury like that. So it does make sense to go and make sure that those guys are getting a little bit of a run out as almost injury prevention, as silly as that sounds. So when you see, or when I saw Aubameyang and Ramsey starting, that's what my mind went to, is it wasn't necessarily about, you know, not giving the young guys a go. It's more about just keeping your squad at that maximum fitness level. So I'm not sure what other changes that he could have made, to be honest, in that game to rest the appropriate players and also, you know, still try to win the game, etc. I thought in general that it wasn't too bad considering our injuries at the back. So
yes, it's interesting. It's interesting to see how he's going to cope with this now. He has to manage us in the right way, and we'll see how it unfolds. John, Nicky Wilson asks, why don't Arsenal get many penalties? We're always miles behind the other top six clubs in penalties.
I think maybe we have too many honest players. Lacazette generally stays on his feet, doesn't go down when he could go down. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but sometimes I do look at it and think, oh, it's such a blatant foul, just fall over, you'll get the, you know, you'll get the decision. The other thing as well is we don't, you know, when we get the ball into the box, it's always sort of at the byline and it's being pulled back very quickly, so there isn't really that, we don't run into the box with the ball very often or at players. The only player that really does that is Iwobi. And he's generally laid it off before then because it's the way we play, because we've got quick feet. So if you could get Iwobi to keep the ball a little bit longer, which would then frustrate people, no doubt. But if you ran at the defenders a little bit more into the box, then maybe you get a penalty more. We just don't, it's just the style of play. We don't keep the ball in the box very long. When we do, generally it falls to Lacazette or Aubameyang, and 9 times out of 10, they stick it in the back of the net, so we don't need to. I'm not sure we necessarily get less than the other teams. I just think it's a style of play thing. If you're someone like Salah or Mane, they're so quick and they're running into the box all the time, they're going to get fouled more. Yeah,
we haven't got that many pacey players, have we? Yeah. You know? I mean, Aubameyang's got pace. He's not really a dribbler. Mm. These guys keep the ball at their feet and run the players, which we don't seem to do. A question for all three of us then. Guna J, 1886, asks, where do you think we'll finish? Dom?
Fourth.
John?
Yeah, I'll go fourth as well.
Yeah, top four. I think top four. I think we've got enough about us to finish top four. I think, you know, we're still in that teething process at the moment. We're still trying to... He's still working out what style he's going to play, who the players to utilise that the best. It's a long road. It's not going to be... It wasn't ever going to be solved in 3 months.
No, you know, I think it's City and Liverpool top two, and then Chelsea third for me at the moment anyway, from what I've seen so far.
Going to be interesting. Namduzi Gunnelad asks, where is AMN? Shouldn't we play him at left back and put Xhaka in his true position alongside Torreira? Update on Maitland-Niles, he played for the under-23s this week.
Yeah, he's not fit. He's not fit enough to play.
No idea.
Simple. He would have otherwise. He would have been ahead of those guys. It's just purely down to the fact that he's recovering from a broken leg.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, you can't rush him back. That was a nasty break. He's a young player. Let's take care of him. Right. Obviously, that's the end of the show. A quick shout out: Timmy Toby, A.N., Ivana Kuffer, Alan Wilby, Corey Sealers, thank you for the donations. That's magnificent of you. Really, really appreciate it. Yvonne, you're always in there. You are our favourite. No disrespect to anybody else, but that's just the way it is. And, you know, it's every bloody show. You don't have to. You don't have to, but thank you. A quick word about, obviously, there were horrendous scenes last night at the Leicester City ground. I don't know what's happening there. Obviously, the Leicester City chairman was in the helicopter. It's sad days all around, and hearts go out, and a thought are with Leicester fans and him and whoever's involved and their families. It's not nice. You don't want to see that happen. So, you know, we wish, we hope. Well, it was horrific scenes, and you can't hold up much hope, but if anybody survives, good luck to them. You know, that's just truly horrendous to see. So our thoughts are with them. But thank you all for joining us. You've been magnificent. How come I've only got 60 likes, though? What the hell is going on? You should be ashamed of yourselves. That chat, let's see a chat box, okay? Let me tell you, let's get something straight, okay? You moan all the time over players' performances, but your performance at times isn't up to much. 60, you should be embarrassed. You're all dropped. Stop it. Tap, tap. Let's get going. Thank you for joining us. You've been brilliant, as always. For those of you listening on iTunes, thank you very much. If you want to leave us a 5-star iTunes review, that would be fantastic. If you want to be part of the chat box, subscribe to the YouTube channel, click on the bell button. You'll be notified when we go live. John, switch this off. Thank you very much, everybody. Take care.